If you are interested in finding out more about small intentional communities, if you're interested in RCWP Rowan Catholic Women's Free, there are so many different websites that you can go to that would give you a whole different perspective and understanding. The Alternative Catholic Experience, the American Ecumenical Church, the American Catholic Council, the the Independent Catholicism, all of those websites will give you an idea of what's happening on a national level. It's quite fascinating, and it's quite exciting to me to see all of these different groups. Just recently I received something from an organization, I don't know if it's an organization, it's called the Alternative Catholic Experience. I thought that was interesting. And it says, over the last several decades, a large number of small, faith-based, Eucharistic communities have arisen throughout the United States and internationally. Many of these communities have their roots in the Roman Catholic Church's Second Vatican Council. Some still are affiliated with the Roman Catholic Church. Many are not. Some are comprised largely of Roman Catholics who may or may not claim the connection with the Church as it is led by the present hierarchy. Other communities, while still celebrating the liturgy of the Eucharist according to their Catholic heritage, are more ecumenical in their makeup. These communities are a living, dynamic part of the larger church. Many are living out the changes being called for by Catholics throughout the world. They may be served by male or female, married or single priests. They are inclusive communities welcoming all to Christ's table, including many rejected by church officials, divorced and remarried Catholics, people of different sexual orientation, and people of other faith traditions. And it goes on to say that such a community exists on Cape Cod. And so they're saying, because we are a vacation spot, many people visit us each summer, and increasing numbers of them have asked us where they might find a community like ours near to where they live. And so they've established a website, and any of us who are having small interfaith communities can put our names on the website so that people who are traveling from California, et cetera, could know where to find that. But that, what I found intriguing about this one, it was called the Alternative Catholic Experience. So I think that there are many of these communities in existence, and many are struggling with the two questions I asked you to talk about in the groups. Does anybody want to share anything or have any questions that they would like to ask?
A minor point, at the bottom there, where it says independent Catholicism, the O is left out. Is that intentional?
No.
It's ORG/? Is the way it was.
No.
Oh, Catholicism, yes. And yes, it's not. That was a printed typo.
And the second one, there's spaces, and I'm sure that's not a...
Intentional Eucharistic community,
there's
probably
no spaces.
Not. No problem, there's spaces.
I have a question. In your mind, what is the difference between an ordained priest and the priesthood of the people?
And the priesthood of the people. In my mind, there is a difference at this time. Patricia Fresland was the woman that I quoted quite a bit, sees that it is very important at this period of our history that women be formally ordained to undo the injustice of all the many years. She sees that in the future it may not always be that way.
Okay, thank you.
But she sees that we are at an intersection in our church history, in our political history. And she worked with the Apartheid movement in South Africa, and she was there at the time that movement ended, and she feels that it is very important on social justice issue basis that women be ordained in the Catholic tradition, in the Catholic Church, at this particular moment of our history.
I agree with that. I've struggled with this myself. Should women be ordained, when I feel the whole structure of the priesthood itself is in need of transformation, but that's the conclusion I've come to. I don't think we can skip this step because, as you were talking before, and I want to commend you on the courage it takes to form this community of the Beatitudes and to become a woman priest. And I was thinking, as you were talking before, about the Pontifical Biblical Commission. Isn't it sad in this day and age that we have to actually argue about women or the feminine as sacrament, as sacred, that we have to prove that women who sacramentally represent Christ? How sad in this day and age that the Catholic Church has led the world in that. And because they haven't, they perpetuate the idea that male is the norm and that it's all right to abuse women. At some level, this is implicit in the Catholic Church, not the man. So the fact that you have the courage and this community has the courage to be take this interim step is absolutely necessary, I do believe. And I thank you for it.
Thank you, and it did take courage. It took a lot of courage. It's probably, if any of you knew me pre-ordination, Catholicism, I say I got from my mother's milk, and I was one of the most, I am still one of the most loyal supporters of the Catholic Church, and will always be. And so I did not see this as a step outside of that, but as another step forward.
What about the young people? What are the demographics of the intentional community? Are we going, I mean, is the emerging church just going to be the gray hairs like us, or are they leaving in such number that they're not represented? What are the demographics?
It's both and at the third national conference, they just started addressing that particular issue of the youth. And one of the things they're looking at is some families who have been in intentional communities for a long time brought their children up within the intentional communities, were baptized within the intentional First Communion, all of the sacraments, and then they leave in the concern, you know, to go to college or whatever, get married. And the concern is what is going to be the impact on them after having lived out most of their early Catholicism in a small Christian community, being in a larger institutional. And that's going to be the next place of research. I had the same feeling of the gray-haired women that are being ordained.
Yeah.
So what is going to happen with that? Is Joanne still here? I always love this story about your nephew. One of her nephews, they came to the ordination, and he is a Catholic, and he heard from his Catholic partner, oh, this is such a big thing, and they're standing up against the institutional church, and the institutional church, you know, might come down, and they might all get excommunicated, and he's listening to all this. And he walks into the service, and he sees all these gray-haired women, and he looks at his partner, and he says, well, why is the institutional church so frightened of these women? I love that story. I was very happy when I went to Chicago to see that there were a number of younger women. And within the Roman Catholic Women's Church, we're reaching out as much as we can to younger women. And they are beginning to come. So that's heartening for me. As far as the younger people going into the intentional communities, the only thing I have is that story that I shared with you about that would be more like a college-age person. I think I like that story because I think that's what's happening to our youth. I don't think they're so hung up on Catholicism, Protestantism, and all the isms. I think that they're really wanting Christianity, and if they find in small Christian community an alternate community or something, I think they're going to be much more attracted to that. I don't think they want to get into places where we fight the other people anymore. Beginning.
I have a concern about the future of the church in that so many of the priests that, like they say, the seminaries in South Africa are, they can't build them fast enough. There's so many vocations. And so that will be highly male, And then the women in South Africa aren't anywhere near where we are. So that seems like that's going to be a huge influence on a global level, where women are, that's going to impact.
That is a good point. My sister-in-law belongs to a small Catholic church in Merrill, Oregon, town of like 700, and their priest is from Africa. And he's very conservative. So it's very, yes.
I've been doing some reading. We don't talk much about intentional communities with Protestant churches because there isn't a lot of information. But I have gotten a booklet from England and one from back east where the young people are starting their own intentional communities. And in my sense is, in rejecting their traditional institutions, they're going to do their own liturgies, have their own community. I think a good example is that Sean that speaks on the Emerging Church in Roar's conference. Any of you read that or hear him? There's a very vibrant young group that are really living out the gospel, but seem to have rejected institution completely. So it's another whole side that there's not a lot of information on.
My first experience of intentional communities was on a university campus back in the 60s. Yeah, back in the 60s and 70s. So if that's where the young people are going, that's pretty good.
Some are, and some of them are.
Right, some of them want.
Gloria?
We talked a little bit about communion in a smaller church and how it gets possibly, is it watering it down? Or, you know, we want to be inclusive, but are we losing some of the belief that we have of Christ in that present?
You mean, and you're talking about Holy Eucharist communion?
Yeah.
Holy Eucharist communion? I think what you have to do is to check out with the people that are attending and what their experience is. My experience is it has not diluted, it has expanded the understanding. But there are as many theologies of Eucharist as, so it will depend on your theology of Eucharist.
They probably asked the same question about Jesus, whether he was watering down Judaism by actually eating with people who were excluded from institutional Judaism.
As it was in the beginning. I would like to end with a, because Harriet has a couple of announcements, I'd like to end with a prayer. And it's a vocation prayer, because it's the year of the priest. Ever-present God, open the hearts and minds of all people and inspire us to use the unique gifts you have given us for loving service to each other. We pray especially now for those women whose gifts are best suited to serve your church as ordained priests. Empower them with courage as they answer your call, and strengthen them for humble service, great compassion, and insightful wisdom. Support them through their ministries and enlighten the leadership of your church to practice the equality that Jesus modeled, to embrace all women and men whom you have gifted for sacramental service. Strengthen your Holy Spirit within those you have chosen for priestly ministry. May they answer your call and follow you with generous hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who called Mary Magdalene and Phoebe, as well as Peter and Paul, to be ministers in the early Christian communities. Amen.
Amen.
In the brochure, The Roman Catholic Woman Priest, you will find the information. And we have on the board, our Church of the Beatitudes meets every Sunday at 11:30. The Congregational Church has generously allowed us to use their sanctuary, so we meet every Sunday at 11:30, and you're all welcome. Only Sunday at 11:30, and all are welcome. Oh.
Thank you, Suzanne, for your courage. I mean, I think we don't recognize often what courage this has taken to take this journey that's been a while. So thank you, thank you. And for the clarification of some of the thoughts we may have had on what this movement could be. So I thank you for that, too, and for the hope that this has brought.